André Brink is among South Africa's most distinguished writers. His novels include An Act of Terror, A Dry White Season, and States of Emergency. Our book critic, John Leonard, just returned from a lecture tour in South Africa and found Brink's new novella waiting for him at home. Here's John's review of Cape of Storms.
By accident 6 weeks ago, I found myself on a Saturday morning at Oliver Tambo's funeral in a soccer stadium in Soweto, and later that night at a reception Nelson Mandela gave in Johannesburg for foreign dignitaries who had come to South Africa for that funeral. Giddy and jet-lagged, I kidded Nadine Gordimer. It wasn't working out the way she'd predicted in a sport of nature. No, she agreed. The bloody revolution she'd predicted in a sport of nature had been just wishful thinking on her part. On the other hand, and she smiled sweetly, it was working out the way she'd imagined in July's People. In July's People, a black gardener must save the lives of the white liberals he used to work for by hiding them in his village. Gordimer wanted me to think about Mandela's peculiar responsibility for South African whites. Instead, I thought about parables. Between ferocious realistic novels, white South African writers seem driven to parable, as if looking for a way to surprise their readers into moral scruple. Gordimer wrote July's People between Burger's Daughter and A Sport of Nature. J.M. Coetzee warmed up for the Age of Iron with Waiting for the Barbarians. And no sooner had André Brink completed An Act of Terror than he sat down to imagine, in Cape of Storms, the first meeting and the first misunderstanding between the European and the African, as a parable partaking equally of tribal legend, Greek myth, and 16th century epic poem. I can't find Adamastor in my Greek mythologies, but he shows up full-blown in the 16th century epic poem Lusiades, a classic of Portuguese literature. He's a titan who displeases the gods by falling in love with Thetis, the nymph who mothered Achilles. Zeus turns him into a mountain range, all those rocks on the cape at the bottom of Africa. Thus, according to the poem, Adamastor has it in for European navigators like Vasco da Gama and storms all over their ships. Brink decides that Adamastor will be a tribal chief of the indigenous peoples of the cape when Vasco da Gama's seabird appears at the end of the 15th century. This seabird gives birth to some odd eggs, out of which hatch murderous beard men with guns and firewater, as well as one naked European woman, whom the besotted Adamastor kidnaps. This is trouble. As if to parody the Vortrek of the white Afrikaners, Adamastor's people must wander with goatskins through a wilderness of thorns, attacked by jackals and chameleons, stormed on by boulders. Cattle, sheep, and sorcerers die. Until the advent of the crocodile, not only can't Adamastor talk to his nymph, he can't make love to her either. His sexual organ is so enormous, he must wrap it around his waist like a rope. Cape of Storms is not only a parable about language, Adamastor must name the beasts and the emotions, but also very Freudian. Brink is saying that civilization means castration. So by all means, take a look at it. But I also discovered in South Africa a whole other literature of prison and exile I'm ashamed to admit I was ignorant of. Besides white writers like Brink, Gordimer, and Coetzee, there are some amazing black writers being published for the first time in their own country, like Alex Laguma, Bessie Head, and Eskia Maflili. And the richest book of all is The Social Contract Nelson Mandela himself is writing.
John Leonard is media critic for CBS Sunday Morning. He reviewed Cape of Storms by André Brink.